Welcome, welcome, welcome to the last episode of the year for Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Hello, my friend Mo. It's good to see you.
Hello, my friend Jordan. Great to see you as well.
Man, I was just off mic complimenting your beautiful mustache. And I wanted to say also, it sounds like you haven't really been able to have any sort of Christmas break yet. Sounds like you're really busy.
My kind of Christmas break starts right after this conversation. Or basically
really?
after I did the editing for this episode, but so like tonight.
Man, that's so crazy. It's so crazy. Yeah, this comes out Christmas Day 2020, the final one, and then we're gonna take, excuse me, I think we'll take a, what did we say, a 2-week break? So our next episode will come out January 7th, I think.
That's what you suggested, and I would be totally fine with that, and I hope our listeners are as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm sure that's gonna be just fine and dandy. But yeah, we wanted to give you guys one more for the year, and I thought it might be a really nice chance to talk about some of our favorite episodes this year, some of our favorite moments, reflect on things that we went through and learned about this year, things that we talked about. I mean, we went through quite the roller coaster this year, I would say, in every single way, kind of, right?
Yeah, totally. And so many things changed in general, and also with this podcast, starting to do it on a weekly basis with the beginning of this corona pandemic.
That's right.
One thing I wanted to say right away is we will not frame this as the Christmas special because we did like five specials in a row. And so just like Christmas got to be more casual this year, I think this is going to be a more casual Christmas episode and not a big special.
No, not a special. I completely agree. We've had like back-to-back specials for quite a while. And also because this is the last episode before your official break begins, I also don't want to take up too much of your time. You're with your family in Oberstdorf. I'm also in Oberstdorf right now, and the house is nice and quiet, so it's a perfect time to do it. I was just going through our old episodes, and it looks like March 19th. March 19th was the very first episode where we changed over to a weekly release date. That's kind of a nice benchmark there. And the first, let me see.
And I don't have a clue what we talked about.
The first 10 episodes that we did were all called Corona Special.
Yes, sir.
I guess we really thought, I mean, I thought it was going to be a much more short-lived event. I didn't really expect, well, maybe no one really expected where it was going to go or how long it would last, but we did. Yeah, let's look at the year so far. We started off the year with David Jr., the drummer from Munich, who went to the UK. That was a fun one.
Yes.
We did our first AFI backstage story in February. We haven't done those in a while.
Because we had the last backstage.
Like, yeah, everything's kind of backstage now. And I think the last like really big studio recording story that we did was
Ali.
With one of my favorite. Yeah, that's right. Ali Reza Golafshan, who is actually, I think he might even be finishing up his second feature film right now. He was working on his second feature for quite a while.
Do you know do you know anything about it?
I think it's another comedy, but so I have a mutual friend with him, which is how we got him on the show. And that mutual friend didn't tell me too much about it right now, but I think, well, basically the film that Ali did, The Goldfish, was such a huge success in Germany that the studio that funded or produced the film basically put a stricter time limit on his next project. So they said like, okay, you know, you're kind of a hot item right now. We want to just go ahead and push out the next thing that you have prepared. So
Okay.
I think he went right to work on writing the second script, and then I saw him for a little while, like two very short times this year, like just 5 minutes or something on the street. And he was working on it, and then I found out a few months ago that he was shooting it. I think he must be wrapping up now. Yeah, man. And then we started our Corona specials, both of us again here in Oberstdorf, and then yeah, then it just went on from there, man. It's such a crazy year. Before I forget, let me say, it's the last episode of the year, and we're really thankful to everyone that's been listening. I know I'm going to be saying that a lot throughout this episode, probably, but if you would like to support this show, you can go to patreon.com/JordanPrince, and there you can pay as low as $3 a month to support this show, leaning towards, hopefully, our goal of having a great pizza night.
Yes.
But even so, like, what I would love to do is next year is to even maybe see if we have enough followers where it makes sense to possibly get some Artsy Fartsy Immigrants merchandise, maybe some hats or some shirts or something. And any support like that financially would all go towards things like this and supporting us and supporting especially artists during this crazy Corona time. So you can definitely do that. And you can go to Apple Podcasts on iTunes and give us like a rating or a comment or some stars. And that really helps new listeners find us. It makes it so much easier than you would think for new people to find us just by doing such a simple thing. So if you haven't done that, please go do that. It's the last episode of the year, and we would love to start up next year with a handful of new listeners that we haven't had thus far. So just wanted to get that out of the way before I forgot.
Yes, and while you talked about new ideas or what we could do with this podcast, stuff like merch, that brings me to this crazy dream I had, and I wanted to tell you. Because a few nights ago, I dreamt that Corona was basically over, or it wasn't even a thing, I don't know, and we got the chance to play with the band, got the chance to play a big show in some really, in a huge venue, something like Zenit in Munich or something like that, and we were the main act, which was super nice, but...
Oh my god, this was a dream.
Yeah, but it kind of turned out as a little nightmare, because we did not have a support band or something, or supporting act. But the opening act was this show, Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. And so we were doing a live podcast before we played a concert. And the problem was that there were like 6,000 people or something. And they hated the podcast so much that everybody left. And we played
in front of
10 people afterwards. And we also had merch. Oh my God. And we also had merch. And no one did... And before the show started, people were coming in, and there was this big merch stand, and you had new Jordan Prince merch as a musician, like super nice t-shirts, like bags and stuff. And I don't know why, but I was around there, and I heard people passing by, and like, oh yeah, maybe afterwards I'll buy this t-shirt, it's super nice. And we also had Artsy Fartsy Immigrants merch. And because this live podcast sucked so bad, and people were leaving... they were coming across the merch stand again. I'm like, no, I'm not going to buy Jordan Prince merch, because there's also this Artsy Fartsy Immigrants merch there, and I hate this podcast.
Oh my God, man. Oh my God. That sounds like a nightmare. Well, at least, you know, there's a lesson you can learn from that, which is that we will never, unless like specifically requested by a large group of people, we will never open up our own. What's the word? Like egotistical, or like there's another word that's perfect for this, but like narcissistic. How narcissistic to start our own headline concert and like support act, Jordan Prince and Moritz Batscheider from the band Jordan Prince to talk about Germany's flaws and funny words. That's so crazy.
Yeah, somehow man. It was super funny, because we were so hyped, and we really thought this was the best idea ever. Not having us, so playing at this big show, not having a support act, but doing this podcast. And we had like the other guys backstage. God. And at some point, Mark like looked out behind the curtain and was like, boys, stop, stop. People really hate this. Let's start playing.
Oh my God, that's so funny that Mark was doing that in the dream.
Mark is our drummer, for those who don't know. We mentioned him quite often on this show. But yeah, that was a dream, and I woke up and I was like, this was super bad, but at the same time, super funny.
Oh man,
then
that's
I thought
crazy.
About it.
That's so crazy.
And if not, highly requested, we should never do this. And if we ever come to the point where we think this is a good idea, we should do it the other way around. Play the music first, and then...
Completely agree.
And then
yeah.
after I woke up yeah. in this stage where before you, I don't know, brushed your teeth, had a shower, had a coffee or something, and you're still kind of sleepy in your head. And I thought yeah. this idea through, like if other huge acts, so we are not a huge act, we were in my dream, but other huge acts like, I don't know, the Stones or something would have had this idea and would have done this, like playing Olympiastadion, and before you can hear I Can Get No Satisfaction, there's 2 hours of Mick Jagger and Keith Richards doing a live podcast.
See, now that would be something I think hundreds of thousands of people would pay a lot of money to do. But they, you know, the thing is, they earned it. You yeah. know, we haven't earned that yeah. yet. So, but that is kind of like that could be in a sense a kind of future goal, to get to a place with enough listeners and supporters where you could do a tour of like, oh, let's do a 1 hour. You know, kind of podcast / Q&A with the concert. It could be a cool idea, but definitely not for us, and definitely not for next year.
Yeah, this could be a super nice idea if and we are so far away from this, but I could imagine it like, I don't know, you are a singer-songwriter, let's say someone is a singer-songwriter and has a podcast with right. a lot of fans. And probably he's going to do a podcast for, like, I don't know, 90 minutes. And after 45 minutes, there's going to be a little break. And he gets at the guitar and plays, like, 4 or 5 songs. That could be something, I think,
yeah,
could be a nice idea.
Absolutely.
And yeah, what I didn't mention, yeah. we played the podcast intro and outro. Then the guys were coming in that would play it live in my dream.
I have to say, that's actually kind of a cool idea. But again... Once we've earned that kind of audience yeah. to allow them accepting that, then it's kind of cool. Yeah. There's a few podcasts that I've heard in the last couple of years or so that occasionally they take place live, and they have kind of cool ideas like that, where they'll, you know, have a band play the intro song, and they have a host and stuff. And I would definitely love to get to a place where we could do a live podcast, because it's super fun to record. I imagine the energy is really high. Usually you go overboard when you do something live like that. You have like special guests that are unannounced. You have musical guests, you know, you do like a variety show kind of, unless the goal of it is more educational, then you have like, you know, yeah. maybe it's more serious, but there's some guests that have like, oh, there's like, we're interviewing this comedian, and then they give them 5 minutes of stand-up or 10. You interview a musician, you give them a 10-minute gig, and like, you know, it'd be so great.
Basically
if we could interview
show.
People like, oh man, how fun would that be?
Basically, that's how the fun would of that be? Show.
Yeah, it would be amazing. I would love to have. I think we didn't interview any comedians yet. Actually, we did a lot of musicians, but it would be
yeah,
so
because
cool.
Because we are in Germany.
Oh, that's actually, though, there are some stand-up comedians, native English stand-up comedians in Munich, and I think it will be really cool to talk about that world, because we have not explored that at all, and that is a small little thing happening, kind of. I've heard it's growing, but sometime back in maybe like May or June or something, it couldn't have been that recent, it must have been last year because of Corona, but... I don't know if we talked about it on here, that I did an improv show, like an English improv show in Munich with an all English speaking group.
No, we haven't talked about that.
Did I talk to you?
No.
Okay. Yeah, basically I'll have to go back and find out like when that was possible. Cause I remember it wasn't really cold. I can only imagine that maybe it was cold and I just forgot. So I don't know if it was like winter last year, but it wasn't that long ago. But basically, I know that it was before July, because I was still working at the school, and there's a colleague at the school who works in the high school part, And she's a British comedian and musician. And she kept asking me, like, we made friends at the school, and she kept asking me about if I would like join her for this improv show, because she found out that I did improv in college.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd make each other laugh and stuff, and she was really cool. And then at one point, I just couldn't tell her no anymore, because I kept, you know, I was just, it had been years since I did it. I didn't want to embarrass myself. I didn't know how I was going to be doing it in Germany too. So I said no a lot. And then finally, I just couldn't say no anymore. And I said, okay, let's do it. And then I just sucked it up. And then I went to her place and we met the group. It was me and her and then two guys. One is from India and he was really funny. He kind of reminds me of Charlie Day. Do you know this actor?
Nope.
Do you know It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Do you know that show? Okay, well, Charlie. Charlie is the, okay, like, one of the main guys on that show. And he's also in, like, Mean Bosses, like, all those movies. But he just reminded me, like, the way he looked and the way he kind of acted and stuff. And I thought he was funny. And then there was another guy, I forgot his name, but he wasn't from India. I think he was from, I don't know, I'm probably wrong, but I want to guess, like, Pakistan? I'm not sure. But doesn't really matter as much. They just weren't British or American. And but they all did, like, English improv. They were both stand-ups, and we practiced together with her. And then came the show, and we did it at this, it's at Münchner Freiheit. There's Heppel und Etlich. Do you know this place? Mm-hmm. We did it there. They, okay, apparently they host stand-up and improv. I mean, they did at least, I think, once a week.
Yeah, there was
this, I remember.
Yeah, yeah. We did something about it at M94.5, but I just can't remember the name of the kind of the format they had on a weekly basis. But
yeah,
there was something.
Yeah, they have like a something like Mondays are open mics and Tuesdays stand-up and whatever. But I knew that place because when I moved to Germany in 2015 or whatever, that was where I was playing a lot of open mics. Like I was doing like once a week there or something. But anyway, we did it there and it was definitely a better crowd than I expected. It was all, of course, or, you know, maybe 90% expats,
mm-hmm,
people from all these different countries. And there was like four or five different improv groups that all had like, I want to say, between 5 and 10 minutes to do their own bit. And so, there was one group, I think, or two groups that were German, and the rest was all English. And I think we did okay. It wasn't like the best ever, but it was still fun to do. And I think it would be kind of cool to there, like, to talk to this guy that reminded me of Charlie Day, to talk to him about doing stand-up and doing improv in a different country.
In the period of Charlie Bay.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, exactly. Because we haven't really tapped into that at all. But yeah, I'm not sure how we got there. But yeah, this year has just been so many fun stories, and changing to once a week, I think, really helped us a lot. And I mean, basically, if you guys are listening to this tomorrow, Merry Christmas in Germany, but Merry Christmas Eve in America.
That's the big
thing. Why don't you actually, this is kind of cool. This doesn't have to be like a special thing, but can you just describe a little bit what the situation is here with, because my family, like, they don't really get this, and I still don't really get it so much, but the situation with like the Christ baby and how that takes place on the 24th and Christmas is the 24th and how that's different, or like why it's different or whatever, from America being Santa Claus on the 25th. You know, I guess it comes back to Catholicism, or
yeah, or Christianity in general.
In general,
I mean, basically, and I could be a little bit wrong with that, and probably my mom is listening, and sorry, but basically, I think that the main difference is that Christ was born after the storytelling we are used to. In the night between 24th and 25th, and the difference is that in Europe they celebrated, or in, not in Europe, in Germany, they celebrated on the evening of the 24th, like on Christmas Eve, and
right.
in America the next morning. And there are also, in other European countries, they even, the part where kids get presents, etc., happens way after, like on like January 6th, so around the coming of the three
Wise men.
Yeah. And I think so, somehow those different cultures who all are based on Christian communities found different stories on how to make this Christian background work with their traditions and their kind of situation. But yeah, but the main thing is basically that Christmas, it's about the night between 24th and 25th, and Germans rather celebrate the 24th, and Americans rather celebrate the 25th.
But I remember, like, we've done it here a few times with my little niece, and it's kind of a funny setup because it's just a different setup than what I'm used to, but it is still kind of funny because you have this, you have like a dinner together, and then you distract the child with a game or something for a moment, so you can you have this like paper on the door so they can't see through it into the living room from the kitchen, and then one of the adults disappears, so the kid doesn't notice.
No,
and then obviously puts all these presents into the other room, and then you hear like a little bell, like a ding a ling. And they're like, oh, hey, the Christkind is here, and we can go look inside. And then the adult who is in the room, sneaks out back around and then comes into the front door and like kind of enters the room with them. So, the child doesn't really know that anything was ever missing or out of place. And then when they open the door, of course, the Christkind is gone, but there's all these gifts all of a sudden. And for me, like, that is definitely similar to Santa Claus, the big difference being that, you wake up Christmas morning and magically while you were sleeping, the gifts arrived. But for me, it's funny that it's like at dinner.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's just a bell in the next room. And like, if I was that kid, I would be like, oh my God, I was looking all night. I was looking all night in this room for this Christ baby. And I just missed it. How can that be? It's been 6 years in a row.
Yeah.
How can I miss this thing every single time, And that's, I always think, works. I always wonder how they picture it, because there's so many different iterations of Santa Claus. There's, there's so many movies where they talk about how his powers work. He either, like, a great example is the Tim Allen Disney movie, The Santa Claus, where he, they show you in the first 20 minutes, like, okay, doesn't matter if every house even has a chimney or a fireplace at all. There's like a magic way that his body shifts into the house.
Yeah.
And then, he has this like empty bag, this empty red velvet bag. But every time that he gets to the next house, the bag is full. So he just opens the bag and there's just always a gift inside. So you see the magic there and you're like, okay. But there's other things you see where maybe he has like a wand or something around the bag and the bag fills, whatever. But with this Christ baby, I always picture like, do you think that these little kids picture like a little baby that has like a diaper then just like flies in the house and like makes a gift appear?
That's the funny thing. Even though the name Christkind, so Christ baby, would lead to like little baby Christ, but the story goes more like the Christ baby, or it is often pictured as a, like an angel, like a little girl, with tiny wings and a white long like robe or something, and it flies around and brings the presents.
Oh, so it's not actually like little baby Jesus.
No,
it's like an angel that represents the birth of Christ, kind of like the spirit of the time.
Yeah, more like that.
Dude, that changes everything, because for 5 years, For 5 years, I've been questioning, how can anyone think that this little baby rolling around on the floor, you know, can't talk, can't pick up anything? How is this little baby bringing gifts?
I think that's why they invented this kind of angel-like Christ baby.
Yeah, because like a flying angel that has magic powers, yeah, exactly, for me is just as believable, yeah, as Santa Claus is.
Yeah.
That makes just as much sense.
Yeah. And okay. What is super funny, okay, because I have I have three younger siblings, and my sister who's 18 obviously knows what's going on, and my brother who is 11 knows what's going on, but my baby sister who turned 6 this fall, she still believes that like the Christ baby comes and brings the presents, and the kids write this kind of wish list. And because that's something I want to ask you about, because with my family, and I guess with many families from this cultural background, it works like before December 6th, like Klausentag, St. Nicholas, the kids have to write their wish list and why they should get the gifts, because they were so good this year. And then St. Nicholas picks up those wish lists and brings them to the Christ baby in heaven. So that's basically the story. And that's what I wanted to ask you. How does Santa Claus get the wishes?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Wow. That's amazing, by the way. I didn't know that. I didn't know that the kid is supposed to make a list and explain why, and then somehow it goes to heaven.
Yeah, it's like a letter. Like, dear Christ baby, I was so good this year, and I was so good to my siblings, and I helped my mom so much. And that is why probably if you find the time, you could bring me a gift, like
a PS5.
Yeah. That's how it works.
Oh, man. You know, I remember I think with Santa Claus, for parents who teach the Santa Claus method, I think it's a little easier, because obviously you just ask, you know, you might even talk to the kid like, so what are you going to ask this year from Santa Claus? You know, and then the kid, like, I don't remember making a list. My mom is going to listen to this and she'll probably tell me if I did or not a few times. But like when you're a little kid at school, I think it's part of like the winter time, you know, before you make the break, you make a list or something, and then like you take it home and probably your parents see it. But I remember like talking to everybody about what I wanted from Santa Claus. And I think a lot of people do it differently. I think some parents ask what the kid wants for Santa Claus to bring, and they maybe make a story that they are going to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
Some families for sure have the kid make a list like this, like what would you want from Santa? And then they just choose, you know, one or two of the things. But I'm sure there's lots of different ways that they handle that. But, I think the majority of the time that I think my mom just asked me what I wanted Santa to bring. And then, so the way that we did it was that on Christmas Eve, on the 24th, my gifts from my parents were already under the tree. So I knew Christmas Eve, and maybe they were there for
a couple of days, you already knew you would... In quotation marks, also get gifts from your parents.
In my house, yeah. Okay. In my house, it was always like, maybe it was even nice to just have some presents under the tree, like as part of the decoration.
Mm-hmm.
But you would see some gifts. You would say like from mom to dad, from mom and dad to my brother, from mom and dad to me, like a few things. Maybe we have like a fun little gift for the dog. You see like a few gifts, and it just kind of goes with the whole aesthetic. But then when you wake up Christmas morning, then as soon as you run downstairs, you see that like a huge multitude of gifts, and like all the stockings are full on the mantle above the fireplace. And it was just a huge difference. It was like, oh, and my parents used different wrapping paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because obviously Santa wouldn't use the same wrapping paper.
Yeah, sure.
But do you have a memory of like your favorite like Christmas gift as a kid, like, you know, the you still believe in the Christkind and like, because I think, I'm guessing, and this, you can tell me if this is wrong, but I think people believe in Santa Claus much longer than they believe in the Christkind. Now, I believed in Santa Claus, I think, until I was like, I mean, much longer than I should have probably, but I think I was like 8 or 9.
Yeah, but that's, I think my little brother's 11 now, and I think like 2 years ago, it was that this changed.
Okay, so maybe like it's that. Around yeah. 10, like the, okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite, like when you were having, well, how was it at your house? Because I just know their family. I just know how they do it here with like the dinner, one parent disappears. There's always this door that's closed and all of a sudden there's like a little bell. So how did they do it in your house?
So the bell is also there. And it's,
is that like in every home normally? Is that like part of it?
I think in most of the homes that have this Christ baby storytelling, and with my mom has this bell, and I think it's really old. I don't know if it's the bell her parents already had for her. I'm not sure about that. I gotta ask her. But it's a really old bell, pretty beautiful, and you see that it's very old, and that's something you can picture stories around, like the Christmas the Christ baby had this already for ages, and it's gone all year, and somehow it appears right before Christmas, and you see it standing somewhere on a shelf, and then you know, okay, when it has come, it's gonna ring it. And with the dinner, what my parents started to do, and I don't know when they started to do it or if they ever changed it, but the children get the gift, so like the Bescherung, that's the term for it in German, happens before dinner, because they realized you can't have a relaxed dinner with the kids when the Christ baby hasn't come yet. Because they would eat like super fast. Okay, now I can hide somewhere. I can go in my room and just wait until it comes. And the adults are sitting there like, yeah, just like give us another 40 minutes. We want to have a nice Christmas dinner here. And that's why the whole thing happens before we're eating, so everybody can have a relaxed dinner.
Okay. Did that change when you were still a kid? Did it happen?
I think like something.
Did you notice 1 year it just came earlier, or did it happen after you already knew?
I'm not sure if they changed that at some point, or if they always did it like this because they thought about it this way. Okay, we can't really relax when the kids haven't got their presents yet. But that's something we do. And what also, so this year is going to be different, and I'm interested in how they're going to do it, because normally, like in every year where it's not a global pandemic, the preparations the Christ baby does happen while the children are at church in the afternoon. There's like this a church's event, especially for the kids in the afternoon, like around 4 or something. And when they're away, the Christ baby has the room and nobody sees it, and it can prepare most of the stuff.
Okay. That's clever, yeah.
Yeah. And before I get to a favorite present, because I still got, I know one, but what I find so funny and so interesting and start to see more and more is that probably comparing Santa Claus versus the Santa Claus storytelling versus the Christ baby storytelling is that the whole Christ baby storytelling is for the adults more challenging to keep alive, because children are not dumb and they start to think about certain things, and just the moment when one of the other comes, I think it's easier when you do the Santa Claus storytelling, because sooner or later, the kids are sleeping that night. Probably they're going to stay up long, because right. They still see a chance to see Santa Claus, but at some point,
right.
They will sleep. With the Christ baby storytelling, you really have a short amount right. of time while everybody is around.
It's like they made it really hard for themselves.
Yeah, but maybe it's also fun for the adults too. Like a the
like a challenge.
The living room version of Mission Impossible. And what I found,
I just love the idea of like a parent at cold outside with a handful of gifts, and the kids are still in the room. It's like ding 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 ding
ding ding. And then the mom in her I don't know mid 40s comes from the ceiling,
and yeah, hanging by the ropes, like,
hanging on the rope.
Time to ring the bell.
Yeah. The floor is lava. No, and what I find, because the challenge in this family is that there are basically like my parents have four kids, and three of them, including me, do not believe in the storytelling anymore and know what's going on.
Right.
But there's this one little kid that does, and so it's even more challenging because in conversations before Christmas and. I don't know. We're sitting at the dinner table, and my sister's like, "Yeah, I'll get that for my boyfriend and something." And then the little one is looking like, "Why does she get something for her boyfriend? Doesn't the Christ baby bring her boyfriend gifts?" And
those kind of
things. And I really highly appreciate what my mom does to keep alive this. The believing of my little baby sister. And I think this year she kind of had to restore it a little bit, and she did it great with an amazing child book written by a very famous German author named Julie C. And she she did this child book where it's with beautiful illustration. It's about two kids, a family somewhere in Germany, and it's Christmas and they do not get gifts. And on Christmas Eve, and then they think, okay, maybe the Christ baby's late or something, or the Christ baby also switched to the kind of American mode and is gonna bring it like tomorrow morning, and then they wait. The next morning, there's still no gifts, and then they meet their friends, and nobody has gotten any gift except from the two kids in this town who believe in Santa Claus, who obviously came. And then they find the Christ baby, like this little angel, who has fallen down and broken a wing. And the kids of the town try to help it and make it fly again. And they try super funny stuff, like with a trampoline, and try to throw it in the air so that it can fly again. Super sweet book. And with stuff like that, it's really a challenge to keep this this believing alive.
Yeah, I can imagine, man. That sounds like a really sweet book, though.
Yeah. And then you also have the challenge, like I mentioned, why doesn't the Christ baby bring him presents? And obviously also I got presents for my parents, for my siblings, right. And the other way around. And that's why, I don't know how other families deal with it, but my family deals with it like, yeah, the Christ baby only comes for the children, and that the adults are not sad, they have to make each other gifts.
I was going to say, like, isn't it, so you guys don't have that separation of that you can also get a family member a gift in addition to whatever the Christ baby will bring.
Yeah, because the storytelling...
Like you don't have... Like, you don't have that separation. Like, when you're a little kid, you think, like, he brings a gift for dad. There's no way that mom would also get dad a gift. Or what?
No, like the kids know that the adults make each other presents because, sadly, the Christ baby doesn't come for them anymore because it comes only for the children.
Ah.
So, like, okay, because when you grow old, you have to substitute that.
Sorry.
When you grow old, you have to substitute that.
Yeah.
That's the storytelling.
It makes a lot of sense. With us, it's like, you know, yeah, like I said earlier, you'd see some gifts already under the tree, you know, from mom and dad to my brother or whatever. But when Santa did come, of course, the majority of things were for me and my brother, but he would also bring, you know, at least one gift for mom and one gift for dad. It was always like, you know, maybe the gift from mom to dad would be something like, you know, fresh pants or like socks or a tie or something kind of like standard for dads. But the Santa gift to dad was always the cooler thing. Like, we always knew the gift from Santa was always going to be the cooler thing.
Yeah.
So whenever we got gifts from mom and dad, it was always like, you know, here's a, you know, 12 pack of underwear and maybe some nice like candy or a couple of cool little things, you know, in general. But then the Santa gift was always like the Game Boy, the rollerblades,
yeah,
you know, the basketball, like the thing you really, really wanted, you know, the GameCube, you know, whatever. It was always so much better. But like, isn't it, since you have just one smaller sibling who still believes, isn't it kind of like, isn't it also really fun for you guys now that you're all in on it and it's only one kid to trick? Not trick, but
yeah,
only one kid who needs to keep believing. Like, isn't that kind of fun?
That's what I wanted to get. I find it super funny, and I really like the challenge the rest of the family has to keep this alive.
I think it must be super sweet. I mean, yeah, obviously here it's just you know, Sophia and you know, it's not even my tradition, but I get super in on it. You know, yeah. Like, when we hear the little bell and stuff, and like I watch how everybody kind of reacts and moves around, and I even hear myself being like, oh my God, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think...
But it's really, yeah, it's sweet.
And I think even when you get to that age from which on you don't believe in this whole story anymore, it's still... So for me, like, I'm in my 20s, and it's still a great. It still makes a great effect when this room opens, or like in our case, because my parents got it since a few years pretty open. So like, there's no door between the kitchen and the living room, so all the kids have to go upstairs to their rooms and have to wait because the Christ baby can't hide down there. And it still makes for a great effect, even for me, when you come down there, or in other households, you open the door. And then the room has changed. This still makes for a great effect, even if you obviously don't believe in the story anymore.
Yeah, yeah. When you just see like new gifts in the room, and isn't there a thing too of lighting these candles?
Yeah.
So what's that about? What's up with the, like, the candles on the tree, right?
Yeah, I don't. I would say...
Is that just part of it, like, now they're here?
I've never thought about it, obviously, but I think the story basically is like, yeah, the Christ baby comes, leaves the presents, lights the candles, and rings the bell, and is gone. And so you have this nice...
That's awesome.
Those nice lights on the tree, the presents under it, like, this great image for the stuff, and... I think that's basically what it's about. And my mom also did... place more candles around the house, like in the staircase, on each step there would be a little candle that has been lit while the children had to be upstairs and wait, and yeah, that's super nice to the day. I really love it, and I really appreciate and love what my parents are still doing to keep this alive and to make this very special.
Does it make you think about what they, like, do you admire that they must have done the same thing for you when you were a little kid, like to see behind the veil?
Yeah, sure.
In a sense, to see how they tell the stories and how they get them excited and stuff, like, does it kind of like make you admire them? Like, oh gosh, you did that for me too.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Do you remember how you found out that it wasn't real?
Well, no one that I think about it.
Was it like friends at school or something, or?
Yeah, I think it was not this. I think I never had this moment of realization that I stopped believing in it. And I have to refer back to our Clausen episodes once here. I was over the point where I did believe in the storytelling of the Christ baby. So I did not believe in that anymore, but I still believed in the whole Clausen storytelling because it was so
much more visceral. Yeah, it's like in your face.
You see them, they touch you. It's like a real threat. Now that I think about it, like,
I totally believe
that. It's super funny that you stop believing in the one storytelling, but the other one, because it's more visual, it's still alive. But I don't think I had this this moment of realization. It was just like a phase, like, I don't know, first or now like second or third grade in school, like the first kids already know that it's a hoax, basically. And you're like uncertain, and the next year you're sure, and maybe you ask your parents and they tell you the truth, basically. But I think I never had that one moment where I was like, what? It is not real? I don't think I had that. Was it? Did you have that moment with like the Santa Claus storytelling?
Oh, man. I have such a traumatic.
Oh, no.
Such a traumatic moment. The thing was, like, you know, I think my parents reacted the right way, because I was probably at the age where I should have known or should have learned it already. And like, I don't remember hearing anybody at school tell me otherwise. But then again, it was a long time ago. Maybe there were stories and I just refused to believe them, yeah. You know? But I remember it better than my wedding day. Okay. I was a kid, maybe like 8 or 9. My mom's gonna back me up on the age later, but I was like kind of playing hide and seek or chase with my brother in the house, and it was around Christmas time, and you know, I knew that. Maybe it was like just after Christmas. Maybe it was like 27 or something. Mm-hmm. Because I recognized, you know, obviously Santa Claus has this particular kind of wrapping paper. And I remember that I was running from my brother, and I ran from the living room through the dining room into the kitchen, and then took a right, which was to my parents' bedroom. And I jumped under their bed to hide from him. And under their bed was Santa Claus's wrapping paper.
Oh, no.
And I had this moment.
Oh, no.
I had this moment where I was looking at it, and I thought, at first, I think I didn't think too much about it, but then I looked a little further because I was waiting for him to come find me, you know, so I'm just staring at it. And I thought, this is Santa's wrapping paper. Well, why would my parents have Santa's wrapping paper? And then I just broke down crying.
Oh, no.
I just shattered. And I remember, like, my brother stopped chasing me. He, you know, he already knew. He's 4 years older, so he knew years ahead. And I remember, like, I sat on their bed, and I was just crying. And I was like, you guys, you lied to me. You lied to me. And Santa Claus is real. Why would you lie to me? And then, you know, like, I don't know how I would react in that situation. I mean, they were calm, and they were like, my mom was like rubbing my back, and she's like, we weren't lying to you. It's just something that every kid finds out eventually. And, you know, we wanted to, I think, you know, they wanted to obviously do it a different way, but I guess they thought I would find out, you know, from school, or eventually I would just grow out of it or something. But, what I did like, actually, what I did appreciate was that, after this, after I knew, and then after I got over it, obviously, my parents continued, even, I think even until today, maybe not anymore, but as long as we live there, my parents still had Santa's gifts in the morning. It was no longer like Santa Claus came, but it would be like, you know, we would open up. So later it changed, I think, where we were opening up gifts on Christmas Eve, like the ones from my family. But still, Christmas morning, there was like Santa's gifts. And then I think as we got older, it transitioned even more into opening gifts on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Just opening up our own presents and stuff like that. But when I was a kid, that was the bee's knees, man. Opening up one of my favorite Christmas mornings, like my favorite Christmas gifts were, like, I got the electric guitar.
Ooh.
I got this remote control. Maybe this was a birthday, but I'm pretty sure this was Christmas. Was this remote control Tony Hawk You know, like these like remote control cars.
Yeah.
Like you have like a little handheld thing with like some AA batteries, and then you could like. I had that with a Tony Hawk, like plastic. Yeah, it was like a hard shell doll on a skateboard, and you could like zip zap him all around, and you could try and go up ramps and stuff, and of course the GameCube was like my all time favorite Christmas gift ever. Like I was obsessed with that thing. I played it every day. But do you have a favorite Christkind gift, like something you really weren't sure was going to happen, and then it happened, and you were freaking out?
Yeah, I was, and I thought about that. And when I was, I don't know, between the age of 4 and I would say 11, one of the main thing I would play with was, and that's something I already wanted to ask you. If it is a thing in the States, because it's a huge thing in Europe, so not Lego, but Playmobil. Is it like those bigger figures? You cannot build that much, but they have more. You can buy like more stuff like Viking ships and zoos and whatever scenery. Like, wait a second, sure I'm going to show Playmobil. You because I got something here.
Yeah, show me. I'm pretty sure that Playmobil exists in America, but I think that the most popular thing is Lego, but I don't know. Show
okay,
me. Show
because,
me what you got.
Funny story, because my grandma, so the mom of my dad is Protestant, and in 2017, there was 500 years of Reformation, like Martin Luther, and so she got me, I don't know how, this Playmobil Martin Luther figure, and I think you might have
oh
seen those.
Oh my god.
And I still got it. And I haven't unboxed it because
it looks like a little pioneer.
Yes, sir. Das Neue Testament, the New Testament, translated by Dr. Martin Luther. And I haven't unboxed it because obviously I don't play with it anymore. And I think this is kind of a collector's item. And maybe I could sell it at some point.
It looks like it's in... I mean, the box is like barely even dented. Looks like great condition.
Yeah. A little dust on it, actually. But yeah, and Playmobil was a big thing. And I... Like for several years in a row, I would... my wishes would contain some new Playmobil stuff. And before I could read... Sometimes my parents used to trick me because, like, they had those catalogs, and whenever I was at a there's in Kempten there's this one shopping mall. No, but it was before that, I think. In some shop you would get those catalogs, those Playmobil catalogs, and I would always get them, like in fall, and would look through it, and then I would choose something that I would want to get by Christ Baby. And one funny story where my parents used to trick me, it must have been around the time where I started to learn reading. And I learned to read a bit, or like around a year or half a year, I don't know, before I got to school. And I got this catalog, and there was this great crane, like constructing crane, by Playmobil.
Oh, wow.
And I wanted to have that. And I think it had a remote control or something, and you could actually lift up stuff. And I really wanted to have that. And obviously, it was super expensive. And what my parents told me before I could read is like, yeah, the Christ Baby can't bring you that because you cannot buy this or get that because you can only win that in a contest.
Like, oh, that's I don't know, so clever.
That's so
that's
clever. But
so
then I started
smart.
To,
oh my god, I gotta remember that.
But then I learned to read, and I was like, yeah, you guys tricked me. I know what's going on here.
You're looking at the numbers, 75 euros, and I'm like, no, this says win in contest. You can't...
something like that.
Oh my god, man, that's so smart. That's like when you have ice cream and your kid is like, what's that? And you're like, oh, you wouldn't like it, it's spicy.
Yeah, you know? kind of the same story. No, but this one year I got this great knight's castle from Playmobil. And I think, I'm not sure about that, but there was also a story like, yeah, we're not sure if the Christ baby can bring it because the Christ baby is still so small and has those tiny wings and it's this huge knight's castle. How could it even carry it? But eventually I got it and
Christ baby's been working out.
And they told me, that's something I need to get back on what the Christ baby can carry. And I got it, and it was so awesome. And years later, they told me that my mom and my dad spent the whole night before Christmas, so like the night between 23rd and 24th, building up this castle, because obviously it comes in a box and all those, like Lego in those tiny pieces, and they build it up so that it would be ready when the Bescherung happens. And I think that was
that's so sweet, man.
And because I did not really expect it, because yeah, those bigger items like this crane, I knew you could only win it in a contest. That really sucks. and the other thing is so heavy, and how could the Christ baby carry it? And then I got it, and so this, I think this was the best thing I got in this phase of believing in Christ baby. But I wanted to get back to what to tell your kids and how to trick them, kind of. Because this tragic story with the wrapping paper, because I thought about, do my parents do something like that? And then I realized, no, they do not. So it really can happen that there's the same wrapping paper around the gifts that the Christ baby brings, like on the Christmas my parents give you to other. And they established this kind of storytelling, and that's also how they managed to really be efficient when it comes to set up the room, bringing the gifts in, etc. Because they started the storytelling that because the Christ baby, it brings the presents, but because it is so small and has so tiny wings, and it probably needs some support, and moms and dads are the ones to support the Christ baby, because otherwise it couldn't do the job on its own.
Oh my God, man. This is honestly like, they should write a textbook of like clever things to defend the fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, like that's so smart. I love that.
Yeah, but,
I love that.
But I think when you get four kids, and
man,
I think none of us kids was or is dumb, and get cleverer and cleverer and more clever, and and so you get a.
I'm so glad that you believe that none of their four kids got dumb, but it's really cool.
No, and so you got.
It's really nice.
You got to develop over the years. You got to develop new methods, because some stories don't work anymore. And this year, there is something like that, because besides the Christ baby, my mom started last year, brought another tale that my little baby sister could believe in, and that is that a little elf lives in our house, and in our kitchen there's like a little sofa, like a kitchen sofa, and on the side of it, like on the wall, right over the floor, you have this little wooden part. I don't know how to, like leiste, I don't know how to what's the term for that, like between the floor and the wall, there's this little. If you have a wooden floor,
oh, like a sideboard,
yeah, like a little like sideboard, a little,
yeah.
And over that sideboard, yeah, she glued a tiny wooden door to the wall, with a little
amazing,
with a little ladder in front of it, and a mailbox, and a little items that an elf would have. And every year, at the beginning of December, this little elf, his name is Lasse, moves in at our house to stay until the holidays are over. And every
Amazing.
Night, my little baby sister has to kind of feed him. So there's like, she has puppets, and they have those little cups, and she has to fill a little cup with milk and a little cookie or something, and has to place it in front of her door. And she writes him letters. And he answers.
this is so complex. Wow.
And the thing is,
wow, man.
The thing is, we talked about this. She started school. She came to school this fall, and they started this thing last year. And last year it was no big deal because she would tell my mom what she wanted to write to him, and my mom would write the letter. And obviously, she writes the letters for Lasse. So, but now my little baby sister, clever kid, is in school, knows how to already knows how to write and to read, and she recognizes my mom's handwriting. And so Lasse, this year, Lasse got a little computer to type his letters.
Couldn't she just ask like one of you guys to write the letter or write with her other hand?
That's what I told her.
But I love that she got a little computer. And there's a story for that too. It's like, well, of course, honey, it's the 21st century. Yeah. Lasse has to upgrade, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, let me just go pee really quick and then we can wrap up this final episode of the year.
Yes, okay? Sir.
Sorry about that. Now I'm back. Man. Well, this is your last chunk of work before you enjoy your Christmas break. And I wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you to you for making this year so special to me and so... You've been so helpful and so supportive, and you're one of my best friends, and you're a great co-host on the show, and you're a great producer, and you always help challenge me, and I think you make the show better, and you always ask me the right questions to think a bit more about what I could do when we get new guests, or to look into a new topic, or when we make these hundreds of specials every every month. But I wanted to say thank you, and I think the show... wouldn't be the same if it wasn't with you. So I wanted to say thank you for being so artsy fartsy, my friend.
You're so sweet, and I can only give that back. Thank you for making my week better every week.
I look forward to this so much, man. Like, for those who don't know, we usually record 2 days before the release date. So usually the shows are really up to date, and this one's extremely up to date. This is the 23rd. It's just... yesterday.
It's the nightmare before Christmas.
It's the nightmare before before Christmas. Exactly.
That makes for a good title, yeah. Regarding the dream I told you about.
Oh, the nightmare before Christmas. Yes. Okay, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to send you the title and description just after. But
yeah, but then only...
this has just been... Huh?
I can only give that back, and those conversations every week make my way of thinking... brighter and make my English better, obviously. And it's so much fun, and I really, really love this show, and I really want to send love around Oberstdorf town all the way to where you are sitting. Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
This is great.
One
thing I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah.
I don't want to ask what's your favorite Christmas song, and because... there are not so many good, talking about like in a pop context. So not like traditional songs, traditional music or something. But
yeah,
are there Christmas songs you don't totally hate?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Okay. What's your favorite one?
I think
in this pop context.
I think I've found the perfect way to. Like when we finish talking, like the song at the end, usually we have this, "It's All Over Now, Baby Blue," but Mac DeMarco released, I think for the third year in a row, his annual Christmas song. And he did a great, really cool classic Mac DeMarco version of "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas."
Oh, nice.
And that's one of my absolute favorite Christmas songs, man. I think there's a few different versions of it that are maybe too cheesy or too jazzy or maybe the wrong kind of singer or something, but just this, like, I don't know, this Judy Garland style or just this, you know, there's something about that one that brings this innocent magic to Christmas mm-hmm. that I felt when I was a kid. You know, you just imagine like the snow falling and that there's some sort of greater power out there that's, you know, bringing joy and peace to the world. And it's just this, have yourself a merry little Christmas. And it's just so sweet. I love it. Do you have a favorite one, or do you for Christmas songs, are you just out for the count?
They're like two I still like. And one is like the what's it called? Merry Xmas, John Lennon. War is over.
Oh, yeah, that's a cool
but
one.
But I already got one I really love, and I really enjoy listening to it in this period of time every year. And it's by Coldplay, and it's kind of paradox because it came out in 2010, and I stopped liking Coldplay's music after Parakeets and the Rush of Blood to the Head, mostly.
Okay, fair, yeah.
Mostly.
Definitely.
But it's called Christmas Lights by Coldplay. Also very sweet music video. You got to watch that and listen to the song. And I really, really like that one. It's super sweet. And it has this kind of early Coldplay vibe to it. Very simple setup. Acoustic guitar, bass, piano, drums. Maybe some strings mm-hmm. here and there. And it has this great long like break to a new bridge to it in the middle of the song. And then this kind of reprise style ending I really love. So that's basically the one I would say that's my favorite Christmas song, Christmas Lights by Coldplay.
That's cool. That's actually really unexpected. I didn't see either of those coming.
By the way, have you listened to the new Paul McCartney album that came out on Friday?
No, I haven't. Have you?
Yeah. And I thought like, okay, you know, the story, okay, the things you hear every year, the Stones are bringing something new, then Dylan does something because he's bored, and then, I don't know, they right. find another Cohen recording, they do something to it. And on the same day, there was a new John Lennon record, which was basically like, they found, it's not called a remastered version of songs, but it's like the ultimate version. Like they dropped 5 songs in the ultimate version, an EP. But the Paul McCartney album is new original music, and it's all instruments played by him. And I think you're gonna like it. Listen to the song "Find My Way." I think it was also the single of the album, and I really admire the drive he still has and the ideas and to bring his songwriting into like 21st century without the obvious idea that one could have by just bringing in new methods of making sounds, like, I don't know, drum machines or whatever, or electronic elements. It's still like old-fashioned Paul McCartney like songwriting and instruments, but I really love it. Listen to "Find My Way."
Okay, I just pulled it up here. I'm gonna listen to that after this. But yeah, man, do you have anything you'd want to say to any of the new listeners that we picked up this year before we wrap up?
Thank you guys so much for listening and for like taking part and participating and in our little show here. And I just want to say, if you like the show, reach out to us. Besides the obvious part you always mention, like we really would love some support on Patreon and good reviews help us, but hit us up. I really love, and we had this quite some times, I really love those direct dialogues we can have between our listeners and us, and picking up topics by listeners on this show, because that's something that is so unique to podcasts and I really love. And if you like this and you get a topic you want to have featured, or you want to, I don't know, have a say in something we cover, reach out to us, and sending out love. And thank you so much for listening to this.
I couldn't say it better myself, man. Thank you guys so much for making this year worth it every single week of the way. Yeah. All right. Well, if you're listening to this the day it comes out in Germany, have yourself a merry little Christmas. And in America on the 25th, Mom, Dad, Bruce, David, have a merry Christmas. We love you guys. Thank you for listening. We will be back on January 7th, 2021. And to play us out, this is Mac DeMarco with Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Star upon the highest bough. And have yourself a merry little Christmas now. Yourself a man.